And we're going to be looking this afternoon at verses 5 through 10. And I'll just give you a little update, not an update, but a reminder of what we talked about last week. And then we'll get to these next five verses in this text and finish up this chapter. In the first four verses of 1 John, we saw John's aim of this epistle. He says in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And so the aim of the message here is to declare the word of life and eternal life, that eternal life was found in Jesus Christ. In verses 1 and 2, he also writes here of the aim of this epistle that we would have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. In verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And this fellowship is a key to this whole passage of Scripture. We'll be talking about it again today in these in the next few verses. But he says in verse 4 that all of these things were so that ye might have the fullness of joy. He says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And so in other words, he's saying we've touched the word of life, eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's real. Christianity is very real. It's not just some concept that's out here that we know is there, it's available, but it's something that we can possess, that we can live in this Christian life. And he says that fellowship is what brings the fullness of joy. And so, in order to have the fullness of joy, to experience real joy in the Christian life, we need to experience the kind of life that comes from having fellowship with God. All right? Let me say it again. In order to really experience true joy, we need to live the kind of life that comes from having fellowship with God. That word fellowship means agreement. So in other words, the only way to experience real joy is to be in agreement with God, is what he's saying. And we'll never have true peace and we'll never have true joy if we're not in agreement with God. That is why a Christian who invests his life or her life in temporal things, and they spend all of their life pursuing after this, you know, carrot that's dangling out there that the world puts out in front of us, and is never going to ever find what they're looking for. They're never going to be able to obtain that thing that they want the most, and that's happiness for themselves, because we're not in agreement with God. And so in order to have that real joy, we have to experience the kind of life that comes from being in agreement with God. And so what is the basis for this fellowship or this agreement with God that produces the fullness of joy? That's what we're going to be talking about in our text here. John discusses the basis for this fellowship with God. He also describes the place that sin has in our life and how it affects that fellowship with God. And so today, this afternoon, we're going to talk about the fruit of walking in the light. That's the title of the message, the fruit of walking in the light. Now, we know that before a person comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we walk in total darkness. But when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are no longer in darkness, but we're able to walk in the light, the Bible says. And if we are in the light of Christ, we are instructed to no longer walk in darkness, but walk in light. That means the light of Christ and the light of God's Word. Look with me, before we get going here, look with me in John chapter 8. Just hold your place here in John chapter 8, in verse 12. John 8, verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Following Christ means that we will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so walking in the light, as we're going to read about here in 1 John, walking in the light is conditioned upon following Jesus Christ. Having fellowship with God is conditioned upon following Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at all of these things in these next few verses. So let's look in verses 5 through 10 of 1 John chapter 1 and talk about the fruit of walking in the light. Verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll begin. Father, we ask that you'd give us understanding of the Word of God today. Father, give clarity of thought and mind. And Father, I pray that you'd reveal your truth to us from your Word, that we may apply it to our life. Father, to be able to truly know what it means to walk with the Lord, to have fellowship with the Lord. Father, to be able to experience the blessings that come in knowing and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your people. Bless this church. Grow us in the Lord. Draw us close to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the first thing that we're going to look at here is in verses 5 and 6, and that is the declaration of the light. A declaration of the light. He says, "This then is the message that we have heard of him." Who's him? That's Jesus. "And declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Here's a declaration of the light. Now, we need to define some terms here. What does it mean when it says God is light? What does light mean? Well, basically, it means truth, it means righteousness, and it means holiness. Okay? So, verse 5 says that God is light. He is all truth. He is all righteousness. He is holiness. And so all truth, all righteousness, all holiness stems from God himself. In other words, who he is and his character becomes the very definition of what light is. That make sense? The person of God, his character is the definition of what light is. It's truth, it's righteousness, it's holiness. God is these things. And so really, light is really God. God is light. He says darkness is mentioned here as well. What does darkness mean? Well, what is the opposite of light? Dark. So darkness is the opposite of righteousness. It's the opposite of truth. It's the opposite of holiness. In other words, it's lies. It's evil. It's unrighteousness. In him, in God, is no darkness. He is all truth. He is all righteous. He is all holy. And there's not a part of him at all that is evil or that is able to lie or that is unrighteous. This word fellowship comes up again. We've seen this word a lot in this passage. Fellowship means in common or agreement. So, in other words, if we look at these verses here, God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship or agreement with him, with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You understand this? God is all righteous. He is all holy. He is not able to lie. He is light. He is truth. If we say that we have fellowship with him, agreement with him, but there is darkness in the life, we lie and do not the truth. You following this? Because there is no darkness in him at all. And if there's going to be agreement, we cannot have that in our life as either, if there's going to be agreement. So, fellowship means in common agreement. Agreement with God only comes then if we are walking in truth, in righteousness, and in holiness. Does that make sense? You with me? Agreement with God only comes if we're walking in truth and righteousness and holiness, because in him is no darkness at all. This walking in truth and righteousness and holiness only occurs as we are obedient to the truth, God's truth. So we've got those terms defined here. We're talking about the declaration of light. We're talking about fellowship. So let's talk about the nature of the light. This is a declaration of the light here. Let's talk about the nature of light. What does light do? Well, verse 6 shows us what light does. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What does light do? Light exposes. Light exposes things for what they really are. Fellowship only comes by walking in the light. And so if we say that we have fellowship, that is a declaration by us that we're walking in the light. Does that make sense? Fellowship only comes by being in agreement with God and walking in the light. If we say that we have that, then that's a declaration that we are walking in the light. But if we have darkness instead, which is unrighteousness, evil, lies, that light, which is truth, exposes what is really in the life. You with me? Is that making sense here? Okay. So, what is the nature of the light? Well, it exposes things for what they really are. Light is hostile to darkness because the two are opposite, diametrically opposed. Light is hostile to darkness. For example, this is a good way to illustrate it. You know, if you you go into an old house, maybe that's some old food's been left in the cupboards and the cabinets and stuff like that, you know, and the electricity doesn't work, and so you got your flashlight and you're walking through and this, and then you go into the kitchen and you open up these cupboard doors, and all of a sudden all the cockroaches that are inside that cupboard and that cabinet, they all just look at you and they just wave. No, what do they do when the light shines in? Boom! They scatter. The lights turn on and the cockroaches scatter. They're all comfy and cozy in the dark. They're all together and having a good old time in the dark. But when the light comes on, boom, they scatter because it exposes them. You know, rioting and looting and crime most often occurs under the cover of darkness, right? Not in the daylight. Why? Because it hides, but when light comes in, it exposes. When light comes in, it becomes hostile to the darkness. Let's make this application. The light is the truth of God's word. And so sometimes when there is darkness in the life, and the light of God's truth and the light of God's word begins to shine in, it makes us feel what? Uncomfortable? Convicted? And so sometimes, that's why sometimes we are uncomfortable at the preaching of the word of God. If the light is exposing our sin and penetrating into the darkness that is in our heart, it makes us feel uncomfortable. Sometimes people will misassociate that. And in order to justify self or not to feel bad, they'll want to blame the preacher. Oh, you're just being harsh. Oh, you're just being critical. Oh, you're just picking on us or on me. But wait a second. If it's simply principles from God's Word that are being explored and principles from God's Word that are being produced and talked about, is that criticism? Is that harshness? Or is that the light of truth that is shining in that makes us feel uncomfortable? Now, certainly, you know, a person can be harsh in their speech. That's true. But let's not misassociate or confuse the light of God's truth, you know, for harshness. Let's not try to justify self or to pacify self so I don't have to feel so bad and blame somebody else, and let's not confuse the two. Does that make sense? Let the light of truth shine in other words. We're talking about the exposing nature of the light. When it penetrates into that darkness, it's hostile to the light. You know, that uncomfortable feeling, like if you're in a dark house, you know, and your curtains are all closed and the lights are off and it's all dark inside, and then all of a sudden you walk out onto a bright, sunny March day with the sky blue and the sun shining and the reflecting off the snow. What happens? You're like, oh, it's bright out here, right? And it makes your eyes feel uncomfortable because the light is hostile to the darkness. And that is illustrative of what God's Word does when areas of our lives are being exposed that God wants us to deal with. And why does God want us to deal with that? Here's where sometimes we miss the boat. You know, oh, I don't want to hear those things. It makes me feel bad. Why do you speak like that? Well, it's simply the truth of God's Word that is being uncovered. I don't want to hear that. And it makes us feel uncomfortable. But why does God shine the light into these areas of our life? Why does He do that? Because He wants us to have fellowship with Him. He wants us to be in agreement with Him. He wants us to be able to experience the joy that is available in knowing Christ. But when we're not in agreement with God about our sin and about our life, we cannot experience the fellowship and the joy that God wants us to have. That is why. And so it's not a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing. Sometimes we confuse that. And that conviction that comes into the life, oh, it's a bad thing and I don't want to feel it. We need to feel the sting of it, but it's actually a good thing so that we can come into agreement with God. And really, listen, at the moment it doesn't feel good. In the time it doesn't feel good. But if we can think spiritually for a second, we would realize God loves me. He wants me to flourish. He wants to bless my life because He loves me. Okay, Lord. Have your way in my life. I give this to you. I see the loving hand of God here and not see it as a bad thing. Does that make sense? Amen? This is why God shines the light of His Word and exposes those areas of life that need to be dealt with so that we can experience the fellowship with Him that He desires. Remember what verse 4 says? Look at verse 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Not so that you can have parts and pieces and a diminished joy, but an abundant Christian life and a fullness of joy that only comes when we're in agreement with God. That is what He desires for us. That is why there's this declaration of light. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, but we have areas of darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The light exposes, but it exposes so that it can be dealt with and so that we can experience that fullness of joy. The next thing that I want you to look at is in verse 6, and that is the deceits of darkness. The deceits of darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him, all right, that's a declaration that we're walking in the light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Here's something that we say. It's something that we are declaring. But if we have darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And here are the deceits of darkness. Darkness, which is what? What did we say that was? That was evil, that was lies, that was unrighteousness, all of those things. Darkness, what does it prevent us from being able to do? What? To see. Darkness keeps us from seeing things clearly, correct? And so this darkness or these areas of life that need to be dealt with that are not in agreement with God, the darkness causes us to not see our sin as God sees it. Darkness represents life when one has strayed or is straying from Christ. Fellowship only comes when we're walking in the light in agreement with God, and the darkness represents life when someone is straying or has strayed from the Lord in some area. Let's read on a little bit further. Look at these verses here in verses 8 and following. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The deceits of darkness. Darkness causes us to not see our sin as God sees it. So, verse 9 says, though, that if we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive it. But we need to recognize what sin is in the first place in order to confess it. What is sin? Well, one author described sin this way when he wrote, "There is something in man, even regenerate man, which objects to God and seeks to be independent of him." That's a really good definition. Anything that objects to God, actually, is sin. And man seeks to be independent of him. What is that part? What is that thing in man that seeks to be independent of God? It's our flesh. It's our flesh. Another author said this: our sense of sin is in direct proportion to our nearness to God. Think about this. Let this play through in your mind. Our sense of sin or our sensitivity to it is in direct proportion to our nearness to God. We're talking about fellowship with God. We're talking about agreement with God. We cannot have agreement with God if we're walking in darkness. And so our sensitivity or our sense of sin is in direct proportion to our nearness to God, because in him is no darkness at all. Are we making sense? Let me illustrate that or play it out in everyday life. This is why at times our sensitivity to certain things becomes dulled. The farther that we get away from the Lord, or the farther that we stray from the Lord, means we're not near to God. Our spiritual senses become dulled. And our sensitivity to sin and sensitivity to things can become dulled. For example, you know, the Word of God tells us, you know, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I would never do that, I would tell myself, because I love my Lord, right? But even just the sensitivity to it is an issue. I don't like it when I hear somebody else take the name of the Lord in vain. It grieves my soul. It grieves my spirit. But there are times, and there have been times in my Christian life, you know, when you can hear that sort of thing, and it doesn't even bother me, or it doesn't even bother you. But the time that I am the closest to the Lord and growing closer to the Lord, more and more all the time, the more grievous that sort of a thing is. You with me? You know, we can play this out in everyday life and in entertainments and so on, you know, movies that we might watch. Something comes across the screen. You know what? We're not close to the Lord. We can see the filth that the world puts out there, and it doesn't even really faze us, doesn't really bother us. When we ought to be embarrassed. We ought to, if we're sitting there watching something and something comes across the screen that's not appropriate, it ought to cause a sense of disdain. It ought to cause a sense of embarrassment to us that we could sit there, we sit through that and watch that. And we should just turn it off and not be a part of it. But all too often, our senses are dulled. Our spiritual senses and sensitivity to sin is dulled, and we can just pacify it or let it go by because it's over now, and we'll hope that, you know, that it's a little bit better from here on out. Are you with me? In Him is no darkness at all. And the deceits of darkness is this, is that it keeps us from, we cannot see our sin clearly. We cannot see it like He sees it because it dulls us and we're blind to the condition that we really are in. Our sense of sin is in direct proportion to our nearness to God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever experienced that in your life at some point? There was a time in your life when you wouldn't tolerate that sort of stuff? Or you'd sit there and something would come and you'd be embarrassed inside that you saw that? Or just someone in their filthy talk and so on, it just burns your ears and burns inside of your soul. I guarantee you, if you've been there, and at that point in your life, you're trying to walk with God, I guarantee you that you're trying to draw close to the Lord. But if we can go unscathed, unaffected with that sort of thing, it's probably because we're not as close to the Lord as we have been or should be. Because the deceit of darkness is that it keeps us from seeing things as God does. As believers in Christ, we've received the forgiveness of sins. We've received cleansing. But as we go through life, we soil these garments. We soil this life. And all too often, we don't want to think of our actions or inactions as sin. You know, and it's not just actions. It's not just things that we commit. It's attitudes that we present as well, including our actions and attitudes towards others. Those are all things that come into play here. Somebody might think, well, I don't do bad things. I don't have, you know, some big glaring sin in my life. And you may not. But how's your attitude? How's your attitude toward the Lord? How's your attitude towards others? So we don't see it like God sees it, is what I'm saying. And it's because the darkness is deceitful. And there are far too many Christians who don't see their sin as the evil that it really is. How offensive it is to God. You know, we might make justifications. Well, sure, I make mistakes, you know. Yeah, I have frailties and failures and errors. It's just part of being human. Anything but sin. You understand what I mean? Sometimes people do that. But look at verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what this word confess means? This is great. It means assent. It means to give knowledge. Okay? In other words, basically what it is saying the same thing about it that God says. If we confess our sin, means giving assent to it, to give knowledge of it. Basically saying the same thing about it that God does. And so confession of sin for the believer means to say the same thing that God does about that sin, to agree with God as to all the implications of it, how it's affected him, how it affects us, those who commit it. So confessing sin then includes two actions. It means saying and doing. In other words, I mean, it's saying the same thing about it that God says about it. And the doing part is the forsaking of it. Listen, I agree with God about this area of my life. Lord, I'm confessing my sin. I agree with you about this sin in my life, how it affects you, how it affects me. I don't want any part of it. In him is no darkness at all. And John says if we confess it, if we agree with God about it, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we don't agree with God about our sin, there can be no forgiveness. It's the same in salvation. If a person doesn't agree with God about the fact that they're a wicked, vile sinner, there's no way that they can be saved. So we're talking about fellowship. Talking about light, we're talking about darkness, we're talking about agreement. And this confession is agreeing with God. With me, a couple of verses of Scripture here that illustrate this truth of saying the same thing about sin as God does and wanting no part of it. In Psalm 32, verse 5. Excuse me. I have acknowledged my sin unto thee, and in mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Here the psalmist says, he says, I've acknowledged my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I'm not making any excuses for it. I agree with you, God, about this area of my life. I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. God is faithful and just to forgive us if we agree with God about the sin in our life. Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 2, David says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He says, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. I know how this has affected you. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. Agreeing with God about how it affects the Lord and how it affects our own life. Look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That forsaking is a turning away. The confessing is agreeing with God. I want no part of it. That is where we find mercy. That is where we find fellowship with the Lord again, agreement with God. So listen, when it comes to areas of our life, listen, instead of covering up our bad attitudes, instead of covering up our pride and covering up or justifying ourselves in these areas, when the light of God's truth shines in and exposes it for what it is, it helps us to see things clearly, and we have a choice to make. We can either agree with God on this and deal with it, or we can reject it and go on in our darkness. But we're accountable to the Lord. We're accountable to His truth. And the light of God's Word has a way of exposing those areas of darkness in our life. But we can't have fellowship with God. We can't have the fullness of joy until we come into agreement with God. You know, there are records of wars. And sometimes these records tell of officers who lost their rank and were dropped from the rolls of the regiment in disgrace because of whatever. But afterwards, by some heroic conduct, they were able to win back that position that they had lost, and they were able to regain the honors that they had obtained prior to this. And you know, that's actually a great illustration in the life of a child of God. There's always in the life of the believer times of wandering. But there's always the possibility of reclaiming and regaining that position of fellowship with the Lord. How does that come about? If we confess our sin, if we become in agreement with God about our sin. What does sin do? It destroys the fellowship and the agreement that we have with God. And sometimes the areas of our life are not exposed yet, and we go on in life and God reveals more truth and shines His light in there, and we see it and we realize this is a thing that hinders the fellowship that I have with the Lord. I don't want any part of that. Lord, I give that to You. Get victory over this in my life. I give You my, you know, this attitude. I give You this action. I give You this whatever. I don't want any part of it because it keeps me from having fellowship with You. And we might live in walking with the Lord and experiencing joy and so on, and there may come a time when we fall. But if we'll just get back in agreement with God again, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and it restores that fellowship again. You know what? I'm glad for His restoration, because I fail Him every day. And daily, I need to go back and say, I'm sorry. I don't lose my position in Christ as a child of God. That's secure forever. But what that sin in my life does is it destroys the fellowship that I'm able to have with my Savior. And until I get back in agreement with God, that fellowship is being ruined and destroyed. But when I come back and I say, okay, Lord, You're right. I agree with You. Restoration is made and joy is restored. Fellowship is restored. But you know what? We need to say, I'm sorry. Isn't that interesting how that is one of the hardest things for a human to say? It's one of the hardest things for a person to say to one another is, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Why is it so hard to say it to an almighty God? You know? But I'm glad that there is restoration. Darkness keeps us from seeing our sin the way that God sees us. And then secondly, in the deceits of darkness, darkness is characteristically unfruitful. Darkness is unfruitful in and of itself. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. This will explain it a little bit more clearly. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." He says, you used to be in darkness before you were saved, but now that you're saved, he says, are ye light in the Lord. And so if you're light, then walk as children of light. Let it show in your life. Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Boy, that sounds like the definition of light, doesn't it? Goodness and righteousness and truth. He says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship or agreement with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is life." All things are shown and revealed and exposed by the light. So don't, if you are a child of God and you're a saint of God, now you're walking or you have the light of life, don't walk anymore in darkness. Walk as children of light. Darkness in and of itself is characteristically unfruitful. He calls them the unfruitful works of darkness here. Let me illustrate it this way. How effective are you in the dark? Say you were put into an unfamiliar place, a room, and all the lights are off. Are you able to just confidently move about? Can't see anything. Confidently just move about and go and do this and be, you know, functioning throughout the day and getting your things done that you need to get done and so on. No. How do you work in the dark? How do you move around in the dark? You know, feeling this and feeling that, and you're walking real slow and still stub your toes, still bust your shins, still do all that kind of stuff. Unfruitful. We're not effective in the dark. Working in the dark, navigating in the dark, it's hard. You can't do it. And this holds true in the Christian life as well. We cannot be as effective for the Lord when darkness is present. We fail to produce things of spiritual and eternal value when darkness is in the life. You know? Oh, I'm serving God. Oh, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. But we can't see things for what they really are because of darkness. That's why John says in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." That's why these things are given. Look, so we can know what righteousness and truth is. And if we are to walk in the light, listen, if we need to have an understanding of what the darkness is, understanding of what the light is, and if we're children of light, let us walk as children of light. Don't let the world into your life. Don't let the world influence your life. Why? Because it's darkness and it makes us ineffective and unfruitful. It affects our agreement with God. It robs us of real joy. The last thing that I want to point out to you here, back in our text in 1 John 1, verses 7 through 10, is what walking in the light will produce. We saw a declaration of the light. We see the deceits of darkness. But now let's look at what walking in the light will produce. Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Verse 9, "If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What does walking in the light produce? The first thing is that it produces fellowship with the saints. Verse 7, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." You know what? Child of God, saint of God, if you're walking in truth, and you're walking in truth, and you're walking in the light, 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 and I'm walking in the light, if we're all walking in the light, walking in truth, then we're all in agreement. And that means we're all in agreement with God. How effective and how fruitful can we be when we're all in agreement with God? If God's truth is ruling the day and we're walking in the light of truth, we're all in agreement with God about ourselves, then we have the right relationship with Him. See, that vertical relationship first allows us to have the right relationship here with each other. There's something that is peaceful and something that is joyful about being in agreement. Amen? How joyful is your marriage when you're not in agreement? But how much joy is produced when a husband and wife are on the same page and they're walking with the Lord and they're walking with each other. How much joy does it produce? How much peace comes in the life and comes in the home when we're in agreement? Same is true in church. You're walking with the Lord. You're walking in the light. You're walking in the light. I'm walking in the light. We're all in agreement about ourselves. We're in agreement with God. And it brings peace. It brings joy. Not only does walking in the light produce fellowship, but it also produces recognition and acknowledgement. See, he's talking in verses 8 through 10. He's saying, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceived. We deceive ourselves. Well, nobody says that we don't have sin. Back in their day, in John's day, apparently there were some who didn't think that they had any sin. But he changes his wording just a little bit in verse 10. He says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Here's another level. Those who say they don't have any sin, but those who say, well, you know, I have maybe have some sin. You understand what I mean? Either way, we're not recognizing it for what it really is. It's offense to God. But he says in verse 9, if we confess, if we agree with God about our sin, then he's faithful and just to forgive us. And so walking in the light produces recognition and acknowledgement. Failure to admit our sinfulness is self-deception and calling God a liar. You mean when we fail to admit our pride, fail to admit our laziness and our poor character as sin before the Lord? You understand what I mean? This is where it plays out practically. You know, in your relationship, one with another, maybe marriages in your homes, you know, you get into a little spat, you get a little into argument. Well, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. If you didn't do this and if you hadn't have said that, then this wouldn't have happened. Only by pride cometh contention, the Bible says. You know, but our tendency is to pass the blame. Our tendency is to pass the buck. We don't recognize and acknowledge. Maybe the laziness and the poor character of life, we fail to admit it and acknowledge it and recognize it as sin. The undisciplined life is not acceptable with God. And it needs to be acknowledged and recognized for what it is. Allowing God's word to penetrate our life and seeing things as God sees them, that brings about humility, which then allows us to recognize and acknowledge those shortcomings, and then it allows us to be able to confess or agree with God about that. True confession of sin is what brings back the fellowship. The fellowship that God wants us to have with Him. The fellowship and the walking in the light is what enables us to experience the fullness of joy that God desires us to have. So the question is, are you walking in the light? The question is, are you in agreement with God? Listen, instead of pacifying and justifying these areas of life, you know, when the preaching of the Word of God comes, we feel uncomfortable. It's the light exposing. Instead of justifying it, passing it off, not recognizing it, let the Word of God penetrate. Why? Because God wants us to experience a fullness of joy. And so if we're in agreement with God, we find that restoration, that forgiveness, and that fruitfulness in the Christian life. Are you walking in the light? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that this would be our heart. And Lord, I believe in my own heart that I want to follow you and want to obey you. But that doesn't mean that there still aren't areas of life that affect my fellowship with you. So, Lord, I pray that we would always let your word expose the life for what it is. And when that darkness is penetrated, Father, to always be sensitive and yielded to the will of God and the Spirit of God. To let you have your way in our life and be willing to turn from those things that affect our relationship with you. Instead of holding on, letting the flesh hold on to those areas of darkness, Father, to reprove it, to confess it, to forsake it, and understand that it's for our good and it's for the joy that is going to come when we are yielded unto the Lord. Father, help us to walk in the light. Pray, Lord, that we'd always have that heart. Father, that you would bless your people, grow us in the Lord, strengthen us, build us up. Father, bring us into a place of agreement with you. And then, Father, use us for your glory and your honor. Thank you for the time we've had today. In Jesus' name, amen.